walking down the beach.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, it is Sunday morning. We bring in our good friend Kerry Crowley, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Marty. I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Pretty good. I see that the Giants have put out something about masks for the credentialed media. Have you seen this morning?
Yeah, it's not really any news. The Giants just wanted to make sure that no one has filters on their masks, for air ventilation. So I haven't seen any of that. It's probably more of a league-wide policy, in case people were bringing non-sanctioned masks into the ballpark. But that hasn't been an issue at Oracle.
How do you think the Giants are handling all the travel? That was some road trip. We really haven't touched on that at all. Wotalk talked a little bit about this morning. He said he kept looking out his window in the hotel and looking at the pool and wishing he could go out. And you have to get a pass to leave your room and leave the hotel. And, it really is a challenge for ballplayers on the road.
Yeah, no question, Marty. It's a significant challenge, but the Giants have totally embraced the protocols. They've been really, really good with this, and they deserve a lot of credit, as do all the other teams in the Western divisions in baseball, American League West and National League West. There has not been a positive test for any of these teams, any of these coaching staffs, any of the support staffs, and I think that that's a testament to the preparedness and the level of seriousness that the Giants and other teams have taken this year with the coronavirus protocols, because it's not easy to go on the road to go to three cities, Denver, Los Angeles, Houston, and not leave your hotel room in all three cities. But that's exactly what's happened. The Giants are taking four buses to the ballpark so that they can remain socially distant. Everyone wears masks on the team plane. And, that's the world we live in right now. And Major League Baseball players, while they have more access to testing than everyone else, they are forced to live by the same protocols and even stricter protocols than everyone else.
And then you have to go out and play a Major League Baseball game.
You do. And as we've seen over the first 22 games of the season, that hasn't gone necessarily well for the Giants.
No. What do you think last night? I heard some of your questions of Gabe Kapler. And, of course, we know Gabe. Let's put it behind us. We believe in our guys. And, that's the rhetoric that he puts out there. He's not going to flip the spread. He's going to bring people in for little conferences. But Andy Baggerly, I know, was pushing him a little bit on a team meeting. Anything like that from Gabe today?
Not really, no. He's going to talk to players individually. That's really what all managers do these days. There's none of these team meetings where, you read the team the Riot Act and you tell them how poorly they've been playing and how much more you expect from them. That just doesn't happen in baseball these days. And so you bring players in like Trevor Gott. Gabe spoke with him this morning about, keeping his head up, keeping his confidence high, telling him that he would go back to him in high-leverage situations. And really, why not? Who else do the Giants have that you're going to throw in a high leverage situation right now? I just don't think that this team was really built to contend or built to compete. It's one of those transitional years. It's a rebuilding phase for the Giants organization. So the fact that they were able to take leads against the A's and to battle them well for eight innings on both nights was a good sign for this team. It shows it's resilient, but at the same time, I was not surprised when the Giants melted down in the ninth inning yesterday. Oakland is just too good. It's hard to keep them down for nine innings. And when Mark Canha came to the plate, I got the sense he was going to hit a home run. And for a guy who had one home run on the season, I don't think that's a great feeling that people in the ballpark are thinking home run.
Well, we'll see what happens today. All right, stick with us. Our pregame's going to start. We'll keep you for a little bit, Kerry. Right now, let's go and take a break. Back with our Giants pregame right after this. All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball, game three of this series, and the A's miraculous comebacks in the first two in the ninth inning. Kerry Crowley's still with us. Kerry, there were some very positive parts of the Giants weekend. Cueto, certainly. Tony Watson, can he be a closer? That's one. And Ruff hit a big three-run homer righty on righty yesterday.
Yeah, Marty, the first 16 innings of those games, so the first eight innings on Friday and the first eight innings on Saturday, were very positive for this Giants team. They hung with and actually outplayed an Oakland A's team that's in first place and has the second-best winning percentage in all of baseball right now. A lot of really good things. Johnny Cueto and Kevin Gausman both looked great. Gausman, his splitter was electric yesterday. I don't know that we've seen a pitch quite like that from a Giants starter in a long time. 14 swings and misses. They got the clutch home run from Darren Ruff in the late innings against Birch Smith in his revenge game against the Giants. And so everything was going swimmingly for San Francisco, and then it just fell apart, and that's going to happen when you have an inexperienced bullpen. It's going to happen when you don't have the same level of talent as other teams, and you're not squarely in a postseason race like the Oakland A's believe they're in.
Boy, you know, we haven't talked about the Birch Smith story. I'm glad you just mentioned his name. I haven't done it this morning. Fill everyone in on Birch Smith.
Yeah, well, Marty, the first player traded between the Oakland A's and San Francisco Giants since 2004 when the Giants sent minor league reliever Adam Pettyjohn to the A's for cash. This went down in spring training. Smith was someone that Farhan picked up on the waiver wire last year. No one really knew what he was capable of at the major league level, but outstanding start to the season for the Oakland A's. 10 in the third innings, 4 hits, 10 strikeouts, no runs. And then he comes in yesterday, and the fastball looks great in the first inning that he threw. Hitters were 0-for-27 against his fastball entering the seventh inning, but Longoria got him for a double, Flores got him for a single, and then Darren Ruff popped one out. And all of a sudden, Birch Smith is on the injured list for the A's. So hope that he's able to get back and healthy, but certainly someone who will have his name in the Bay Bridge Series rivalry in a distinct place because of that trade.
You know, I keep talking about the evolution of Gabe Kapler and how things are different. Is he evolving? I mean, 106 pitches for Gausman, righty on righty, and I heard his answer last night on the postgame show that we think he can elevate against right-handers. Talk about Ruff. Is there an evolution coming on here with Kapler?
I don't know if it's as much of an evolution as he's just sticking to the plan that's always been in place for these starting pitchers. I think that if this was a normal baseball season, Marty, we would have seen the same thing happening in 21 games that we saw through the Giants' first 21 games this summer. We would have seen pitchers going 5 innings instead of 6, 6 innings instead of 7, slowly built up to where no pitcher's throwing 100 their first 2 times through the rotation. And just because the season started in July, I think it jaded a lot of people's views of what should take place. But they've always been very careful with his pitchers. That's what he did in Philadelphia. Remember, Aaron Nola was handled with kid gloves over the past 2 seasons in the month of April. Jake Arrieta as well. So this is all part of the plan. And just because it's a 60-game season and not a 162-game season doesn't mean that the Kapler's necessarily changed his viewpoint.
Okay, fair enough. What do you expect from Logan Webb today? You know, we talk about a year of development. Tim Kawakami had a good article in The Athletic today about, look, let's realize this is a long process that's going on. Logan Webb is part of it. What would you expect from him today?
It would be really great for the Giants to get 5 innings out of Webb and for him to pitch into the 6th. I think that's really all you can ask for from a rookie against a strong Oakland A's lineup that hasn't really touched Johnny Cueto or Kevin Gausman the last few days, save for a few home runs. But yeah, Webb really pitched better than his line indicated in Houston. The only Astros hit that really did any damage against him was a bloop double down the left field line. But the Giants defense made 3 errors when he was on the mound and just didn't give Webb a chance. So they've got their best defensive unit on the field today, Marty. If he can get through 5, I think that would be a really encouraging sign for a young pitcher who's certainly resilient. I think the Giants love Logan Webb's bulldog mentality. They love the way he thinks about the game and processes hitters. And so there's a lot to like about his development.
Well, 5-for-11 with 3 homers. That is Longoria. Belt is in there today. Boy, Belt, look, we've watched Belt for so many years and watch the years when he could spray the ball all over the park, the home run against Washington, the home run he hit against Colorado. But my goodness, Kerry, he just looks lost at the plate.
Yeah, I'm really starting to wonder how much the calf issue and the heel issue are affecting him at the plate because, the discipline is there. He's taking walks. His on-base percentage is still relatively high compared to his batting average, but that's because his batting average just isn't there at all right now. He's not putting the ball in play. He's not catching up to velocity. And he just looks like he doesn't have the quick hands that we've been accustomed to seeing from Belt through the years. And I know the Giants fans have been frustrated with all of his strikeouts, but it feels like those strikeouts are starting to add up in a more serious way at the moment at the plate. So he's someone to watch because I think the injured list could still be a realistic possibility for Belt in the coming days if he doesn't get things together at the plate, because at some level, they need some production from him. It can't just be an all-glove first baseman.
No. Fires, second time through, 15 for 34 with four homers. Third time through, 5 for 15 with two homers. Ray Fossey says if he pitches up in the zone, he can get hit. So we'll see how it plays out, but I appreciate you being on, and stay safe. And folks okay? Everything good with you?
Yeah, folks are okay, Marty. You know, it's weird having the thunder and lightning on our side of town, but especially with 70-degree weather. But, you know, we'll push through.
Well, we'll follow you on Twitter and, of course, after the game as well to catch your story. Kerry, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is the great Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. Glad to do that.